Welcome back! We're back! Hey! And I'm the only person here! What's up with that? Welcome, audience! Hello! Just a mic real quick. We're back! Just me! No Danny Boy around anywhere. No Danny Boy in sight, no extra guests. I was supposed to have 3 guests on. And they all bailed on me. Well, 2 of them bailed on me. One of them didn't even respond to me, so there's that for you. Really goes to show how much reach this show really has. But besides the point, they're all lovely people, so don't give them flack about that if you know them in real life, right? Ben Lusky? Nah, I'm just kidding. Welcome back. I don't know how this show is going to go, because I feel like I'm kind of worried about the fact that I've been talking to someone else. We've been having a dialogue for the past, say, 3 weeks, 3 episodes so far. And now I'm back to just myself and you, the audience. If you're listening to this when it's not live, what are you doing? What are you doing? We play awesome music, alright? How dare you? Anyway, besides the point, welcome back. Today, we'll be retreading old ground, actually. Because, if you were from the inception, the very first episode, now here's the thing, the very first episode of this show, I did not post on my Instagram, sorry, because I did not know how it was going to go. And thank goodness, because the show that I ran before was horrendous. The first episode was god-awful. I made a tier list. That's how bad it was. That's literally how bad it was. I made a tier list of all the levels in a specific game. And I realized after that episode, I was like, wait a minute. Wait. Do people really want to hear this? I don't think so. That was one of the worst episodes, and I'm glad I didn't post it. And I'm glad I just covered it up and swept it under the rug. But we'll be retreading old ground. I want to remaster that episode. I feel bad that that episode is gone forever, right? Because no one has ever watched that episode, right? Come on. So today, ladies and germs, we'll be retreading old ground. And we'll be going into the depths of the psyche of my mind, and be reviewing and commentating on the video game Pizza Tower. Cue lightning! Ah! Cuckoo! Sorry, I have a soundboard. I could do that. I discovered new tech, by the way. Hold on. I can actually record stuff from the computer now. So, watch this. I don't need to record my own voice anymore. Hey, look at that. So, for everyone who's new here, what is Pizza Tower? Now, in order to find out what Pizza Tower is, we have to go into the very depths of the person who made it, who said specifically that they were very much inspired by the Wario Land games. Now, the Wario Land games, not to be confused with WarioWare. Wario Land was a platformer that kind of, like Mario and Wario, completely went in the opposite direction of a classic Mario game. In your classic Mario game, right, you have Mario. Who would have guessed? What? Mario has Mario in it? No way. That's crazy. Mario games have a limited moveset. What do I mean by that? What do you do in a Mario game? You have power-ups. That makes sense. You can jump. You can run. And that's it. That's all Mario can do. You have power-up, which adds an extra thing to it, right? But that's about it. The core gameplay loop is not focused centrally on the character, but rather the obstacles that the game throws at you, right? So you have a limited moveset. You have a very concrete moveset. But you have an entire level to work yourself around. Challenges like spikes and pits and trip falls and all that kind of stuff that kind of also coincide with the power-ups that they give you, but more of a, in a, what's the word? Sensical way, you know? Like, you have your general progression as a character. Wario throws that out of the window! Because they don't focus on the level, they focus on you as the player. Power-ups in this context don't just give you one extra boost. Doesn't give you an extra little power-up. Oh, you can shoot fireballs now, that's cool. You still can run and jump, that's the same thing. No! You turn into a zombie in Wario Land. You can literally turn into a zombie. You can turn into a little pancake that floats on the ground. That's Wario for you. And they completely go at odds with each other, which kind of works as their character, right? Mario's the more grounded, 9-to-5 working job, classical Italian plumber. While Wario, on the other hand, is a businessman who likes money. And is fat. Mario's also fat, but don't tell him that. He's very insecure, okay? You can tell Wario that. He would just laugh it off. He'd probably fart in your face, but he'd laugh it off. But Mario. Mario would take that to heart. Mario would have an issue with you. As a person. As a human being. Pizza Tower. Pizza Tower is a Wario-like. Wario-inspired Pizza Tower. Along with other games like Sonic and other things like that. Because the main focal point is speed and style. Right? Peppino, the main character, has an entire movement set to involve yourself in and learn the little gimmicks out of. Right? When you first pick up the game, you are going to hate the way he moves. Because you're like, how do I cope with this? He runs on the wall, and I can't get myself stuck out of the wall. He keeps bouncing off the ceiling. I accidentally press up, and he triggers like a super jump that launches him 10 feet into the air. But once you get the hang of the movement, and the other abilities that you have to your disposal, like taunting, which also acts as a parry, so if a little spear's coming at you, you can turn it out of the way, and chuck it out of the way, right? It's a very fun concept. I do like the idea of a parry acting as also a taunt. It's really funny to me. But Peppino is an Italian plumber. That's Mario. Peppino is actually an Italian chef who makes za pizza. Who would have thought Pizza Tower and the main character's pizza? Pizza maker. I need to open a window. Jeez. Let me tell you about, hold on. Before we continue, let me just tell you about this place. It is so hot in here. I don't know if I said this before, but like, if you don't open a window, it literally, I feel like I'm melting right now. I feel like I'm literally like in the Sahara Desert and I'm searching for water in the oasis. And the oasis is a mirage. There's literally, it's really raining out there. And I can't drink any of it. How am I supposed to water myself? Either way, Pizza Tower is a very fun game because not only are the character love very varied in their movement set, meaning that you can take. I spent about 40 hours in the game, and I still have trouble getting the hang of Peppino's movement set. I will say though, he's way better to handle now. Because I know the ins and outs of his character. I can chain the slam down attack into the dash, into the Mach 2 run, smash into a bunch of enemies, and then smash through a brick wall, and then jump, like long jump out of that, super jump out of that, and get to the little secret area. It's all a chain. And the more you play, the more the game rewards you, right? That gets me into the ranking system. Like most games, they have a ranking system. The fun part about this game is that you can pick whatever difficulty you want, and you can still win. I think the Pizza Tower perfectly handles difficulty in its own sense. Because normal games are like, do you want with your baby easy mode, or you want medium mode, or do you want expert mode, where you die in one hit? Which will it be? What do you want? Choose now! No, instead in Pizza Tower, you can specifically pick what ranking you want to get and what you want to get out of the game, right? There is so much hidden content inside of Pizza Tower. If you go for the highest rank in each level, and also do a bunch of the other stuff that is provided in the game, right? But you don't have to do all of that. All you have to do in this game is get the pizza toppings that are caged in each level. There's 5 in each level, and you get money for each one you save, which you can then use to buy the boss gate at the end of each stage. Each stage consists of 4 levels, except for the final stage. Confused? Probably. But besides the point, I feel like, yeah, with Pizza Tower, you have all these different, like, little secrets you can find in the game, right? You have Jerome and his little secret janitor closet where you can find the hidden items in each level. There's the 3 secrets in each level. And also there's... I'm forgetting something. Oh, there's Lap 2. Lap 2 is very fun. Let me get to the core concept of the game. You control Peppino, and you get through the entire level, right? At the end of each level, there is a gigantic pillar that's holding up the level, right? And when you hit him, the level starts falling around you. It doesn't really fall apart around you. It's just a timer at the bottom activates. And when the timer goes down, a gigantic pizza face tries to kill you. Yeah, no, it's this game's eccentric. That's the only way I can describe it. It is a 90s cartoon. It exactly is a 90s cartoon. Like, if you watch SpongeBob or Ed, Edd n Eddy back in the day, like, all those perfectly are what this game grabs in terms of concept and also in humor. I love the humor in this game. It's hard to describe in audio format, which we've also had trouble with back 3 episodes ago when we're just talking about the game. That's another thing I have a problem with. We have a topic that we're talking about, and me and Danny Boy both are talking about the topic. Problem is that we're looking at a visual on the screen. So we have to describe to the audience listening what we're seeing, which is just not good radio. I'm just saying. Radio Laurier, if you're listening to me, please just do a Twitch channel. I'd love to host a Twitch channel. That'd be fantastic. Think about it. I just have like a 3-hour, like... Is someone using the washroom? We're getting sidetracked. We need to bring it back to Pizza Tower. At the end of each level, you get to John Pillar, who's holding the level up. And when you defeat him, he triggers a timer. And you have to go through the entire level again, collecting little clocks to increase your points to while your points are decreasing. And defeat all the enemies that are spawning in front of you and get to the end of the level, which is a really fun concept. I like that a lot. It kind of also falls into line with the whole Wario Land concept. But also, at the end of each level, there is a Lap 2 that you can also unlock. Now, what a Lap 2 implies is that you have to do the entire level again while still having the timer on, which is probably already, like, at least half or 2/3 depleted. And you are... There's a whole separate soundtrack for it. It's beautiful. I love it so much. But, like, we're gonna get to the music in a second. For now, let's talk about what I really wanted to talk about. See, at the end of each stage, there is a boss they have to defeat, right? Each of these bosses are so stylized and brimming with character and personality. It's beautiful. You got the artistic and pompous Pepper Man, right? Where at the end of his last like few health points they have to remove, you have to destroy a block of brick to uncover a painting, and when he charges at you, he looks at the painting, and that's when your time is to strike. It's perfect concept. Then you have the Western cheese curd, I forget his name. That one's kind of forgettable, but you get a gun in that one, so it's pretty fun. And then the third boss is the Noise. We're going to hold... Put the Noise in your mind. He is a pizza mascot. Unambiguously a pizza mascot. I've talked about this before, but he's based on a Domino's mascot back in the 80s called the Noid, who triggered someone's schizophrenia because he thought... Because his name was the Noid as well. And... I realize that no one is going to understand what I'm saying. Let me backtrack. There was a pizza mascot back in the 80s called the Noid. The Noid was a kooky little crazy character who would stomp on your pizzas and destroy them, and which would be the explanation to why your pizzas come, like, terrible. Like the toppings are falling off and they're misshapen when they come delivered to you. Right? And... the whole mascot of Domino's was that you're supposed to avoid the Noid by choosing Domino's, right? Which is perfect, because that's like 5-year-old logic, really. And then later down the line, I think a year after that campaign, that advertisement campaign came out, there was a guy who was also called the Noid, who... not... He didn't call himself, he's like, his legal name was actually Noid, like, it was his last name or something. And he thought in a schizophrenic episode that Domino's was taking his name and smirching it, and literally, like, defaming him. So he went to the nearest Domino's with arms. He was carrying arms in a Domino's and put the cashier at gunpoint and asked them to make him a pizza. And for $100,000. And a getaway vehicle, obviously. And then he gets the pizza and he just sits at the Domino's and starts eating it. He puts the gun down and then they just call police and they take him away. I think he did plead insanity and I think he did get it. But the world we live in is wild. Anyway, that character is based on the Noise, who is a boss in Pizza Tower, who in this new update, that just came out 3 days ago, coming to right now at March the 14th, it came out on March 11th, you can now play as the Noise. I'll get to that in a second. Last boss you can fight is Fake Peppino, which is a altered, disfigured version of the character that you're playing as. Terrifying concept. I love it so much because he's just like literally like his face is like almost like falling off. His face is like half melting and he just chucks his head at you as like one of his moves he can do in the boss fight. It's so funny. And then, yeah, no, I'm not going to spoil it too much, but fantastic concepts all around. I love it so much. And then the levels are also the exact same. Like there's one where it's literally just a copy of Five Nights at Freddy's. There's another one that is literally called War, where you have to go, like, through the trenches and have to beat up, like, pizza soldiers, have a shotgun and all that kind of stuff. It's fantastic. But how about the Noise? You can now play as the Noise. And the Noise, I'll tell you this much, he is a psychopath! If I met the Noise in real life, I would have a few things to say to him if he didn't kill me first, because... that man is known for killing 20 people in a vehicle man-burger accident. And I wouldn't want to mess with him. I would not want to toy around with whatever's going on in his mind. But, like, the noise, is similar to Peppino in his movement style, right? You still can go, like, super fast if you dash for a certain amount of time. Except you turn into a rocket at Mach 4, but that's besides the point. The fun part is that you have extra moves. You have an entirely new movements that you have to do with the same levels, of course. You, at the end of when you unlock the Noise, you get to open up a new save file and play through the entire game again as the Noise, which I think is really fun because there's some extra little added tidbits into the game that just, beautiful. Extra songs, extra cutscenes, extra little animations. Whenever you have free time, as I do with my free time, just go to Pizza Tower Wiki and just look up Noise's sprites. Just look up his sprites, because each of them has their own little character that you will never see in the actual game, because frames go really fast in animation, right? And there's just some that just take me back so much. It's so funny. My favorite sprite from the game is when you get the S rank in any level as the Noise. Like, his face is like opened wide, like it just is a big O. He has the two buck teeth in the center, and he's just, his eyes are bulging out of his head. It is so funny. I posted on my Instagram story of that photo. It's, whenever I look at it, it just fills me with so much joy. It's just like, what is he looking at? You know, like what is he looking at that is catching him off guard so much? Like what does he know? What is he looking at? What I think my headcanon is, he's watching the entire Rule 34 fan page. He's seeing every single horror that lies on the internet about him and Peppino and the horrific things they do together. I remember on the one of the cut episodes that we did, because I forgot to record the thing, you know? Sometimes you just forget to press the record button on Audacity and you just don't have enough footage to actually make an episode. That happened a few weeks ago, and I still regret it ever since, because some of those clips were just so funny. It was just one episode where I went through as many fanfiction, terrible erotica I could find, and just read it like bar for bar. It probably didn't read well, but it was so funny to me. Either way, the Noise is the antithesis to Peppino. Peppino is the grounded working man. He's the blue-collar guy, you know? He's trying to run a pizza joint. He's struggling with taxes. He has post-traumatic stress disorder. He's the everyman, you know? Like, I also have anxiety. I can relate to Peppino. The Noise, on the other hand, is a deranged lunatic. He has a pipe bomb in his little bodysuit that he just has on the ready. I don't know where he keeps it. Where does the Noise keep it? I don't understand where he keeps his pipe bombs, but he just has them. And he just chucks it at like all the bosses, and it's wild to me. Another thing that changes is the different mechanics that you get in the game, right? So in certain levels, you have certain power-ups that you get that completely change your movement set. Like, for example, in the level Graveyard, you get to turn into a ghost. And as a ghost, you can collect ghost peppers that increase your movement, and you can just punch through these ghost blocks, right? That are scattered throughout the level. But as the Noise, you don't get to just move normally. You have to charge your attack every single time you want to move. And your normal moveset is very slow as a ghost, right? Another one I can think of is when there's a gigantic cheese curd monster that throws cheese balls at you. As the Peppino, you just turn into this disgusting husk of a cheese monster that just roams around and moves very slowly. And you're trying to get to the priest that can cure you as fast as possible. The Noise turns into a cute little rat, and you get to scurry around and move up and down the... It's way more efficient as movement, and I do appreciate what they did for that level. A bunch of other things happen as well that I'm not going to go into, but what I do want to talk about is the Noise's boss fight as the Noise, right? So, as Peppino, you fight the Noise as a third boss, but you are playing as the Noise, so what would be that third boss? Why, it's a Noise, of course. I thought it was going to be something like the fake Noise or something like that. Kind of like mirroring how the Peppino has to go against fake Peppino and then the Noise would have to go against fake Noise. But in this case, no. You just fight his alter ego. His reskinned blue suit compadre counterpart, the Noise. It doesn't even make sense. Like, Mario and Wario, I guess, makes sense, because you just flip the M, right? But, like, I guess Luigi and Waluigi doesn't make any sense either, but besides the point. The Doys? The Doys. Are you kidding me? Let me describe to you this boss fight, right? Normally, you just have, like, in the normal noise boss fight, you have, like a whole, like, casting crew. His little minions are scurrying about, like, filming the entire fight. That kind of thing. Because he's like a personality, right? That's his entire gimmick. That he's like cutesy on... He's a goofy, silly guy on the camera, but behind doors, he's like a chain smoker. He probably beats his wife or something. You know, that kind of thing. The Doys is just a nightmare. It's a nightmare. There is just like distorted like figures of the Doys in the background. And there's like a little strange creature that's scurrying about in the background too. And he just throws rocks at you. Normally he throws, like, in the noise boss fight, he throws bombs at you. He just throws a rock. Like, I want to talk to the developer. I need to know what they were thinking inside their head. But, besides the point, at the end of the boss fight, you see the Doys, like, when you get them, when you beat the Doys, there's a cutscene that plays where you get hit with a rock and you're about to die. But then Pedido, who is Pepino's alter ego, floats in, scoops the Doys up, and kills him. Canonically. He canonically kills the Doys. Normally in the game, you can re-fight the bosses so you can get that P rank for each boss, right? When you re-enter the boss fight, once you beat the Doys, he's a corpse on the ground and you instantly win. He's a little corpse on the ground and you instantly win. Like, I've never seen that in a video game before. Where it's just a literal joke that they put into the game. It is so funny to me. When I'm making a game like that, I'm definitely gonna put something in like that. Either way. Let's talk about the music, because I think the music is the best selling part of this entire game. Let me just say right now, Pizza Tower was robbed. It was robbed, I tell you. It was simply robbed. It was simply robbed of its entire right to win both awards at the Game Awards. Pizza Tower is nominated for Best Indie Game, I think, right? Let me look that up real quick. But Pizza Tower was nominated for Best Indie Game. Best Independent Game. That's what it was nominated for. I think. Hold on. No, it wasn't. Wait, what? Pizza Tower Game Awards. I might be going insane right now. I might be losing it. Hold on. So, Pizza Tower got nominated for Best Debut Indie Game, right? Which it lost. It's like so good, dude. What the frick? Come on. Why would you do Pepino? Now he's crying. Look, you made Pepino cry. Are you happy now? Dude. God. Right. Anyway. It got nominated for 5 awards, and it got none of them. And it's infuriating to me, because one of them was Best Soundtrack for the Steam Awards. It was Best Soundtrack. It was going to win, because let me tell you, the soundtrack for this game is the perfect combination of 90s, rock, disco, hip-hop, and a bunch of others. There's so many talented people for the soundtrack. One of them whose name is, let me double check here, Classically Jito, who is literally, I think, in high school right now. And he made most of the soundtrack for this game. It is so good. If you listen to the intro, if you're not listening right now, please go to wigglerory.com and then just check. I'm having a stroke right now. I'm having a stroke right now. Go to radiolory.airtime.pro and tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. And you can catch me live at that time. And you can hear funny things like this. Or maybe maybe that's more your speed, you know? Like, I pick your poison, you know what I'm saying? Just pick your poison. Pick your poison. Pick your poison. You can also listen to the songs live if you tune in to the live broadcast. So I think that's probably a best selling point for that. Besides the point, this soundtrack was made by a little high schooler, and it has usurped every other soundtrack in the entirety of the business in 2023. It was not the best game of the year. I do believe it has the best soundtrack of that year for any video game that was released at that time. You know who won? A damn remake! It was a remake that won! It was a remake for, what was it again? What was it? A stupid zombie game. Stupid zombie game that won! Dude. You know why I make this show? So that things that like that never happen again. Cause I am pissed! I am angry! That this game didn't win, you know? Like, it just infuriates me. Because the entire point of this game is that I'm supposed to give out games that I think should be in the mainstream. That should be, like, top of the billing, perfect games, right? That aren't touched by this corporate greed of AAA companies that are just pumping out crap and piping up microtransactions and loot boxes. I've talked to so many people about video games, and they're like, yeah, no, that's just not my cup of tea, which I understand, but they play games like Overwatch 2! I'm sorry. Overwatch 2 sucks. I don't care who you are. Overwatch 2 is the worst conceptual idea that I've ever had in my life. There's some things they improved on, but they could have just updated the original game, dude! Why make it two? Unless you're making an entirely new roster of characters and stuff like that, why put the sequel there? Why make it a sequel in the first place? Because all you're doing is trying to get as much money as possible. That's all you're doing with it. Because people, well, they have to gravitate towards it, and if they're a fan of the original game, they have to buy all the new stuff in the new game. And if you saw me right now in the real world, you would see steam coming in my ears right now. This is what I have to deal with in the games industry. If I'm becoming an actual developer, this is what I have to sell my soul to in order to actually get myself my foot in the door. Do you understand me? This is what I have to deal with. Things like Pino not winning Best Soundtrack in the Steam Awards. This is what I have to deal with. You know? Sometimes... You just gotta take a step back, you know? Sometimes you just gotta realize that maybe these things don't matter. Because Game of the Year, Baldur's Gate was really good, I heard, right? And I'm gonna play that eventually. But then you see this! Most innovative gameplay was Starfield! No! What was innovative about Starfield? You can make your own ship, sure, but like... No! 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 It's like I'm trying my best here. I'm trying my best to not like lose my cool about this stuff. But it's like there's just all these fantastic games in their own right. Let me just look at best soundtrack for a fight. Hi-Fi Rush. That's literally a game that's centered around a soundtrack, and you have to fight against the beat, right? You got Persona 5, which is also a pretty good hit. Chance of... I'd heard of that game before, I think. It sounds pretty fun. Yeah, this one. It's like a surrealistic, like, cult kind of game. It looks really fun. I want to play that one, too, soon. But The Last of Us Part 1 is a remake from an already alright game that was... Like, what? Who? Why? What? I don't understand it. Listen, if you ever get into the games industry, let me get closer to you. If you ever get into the games industry as a business person, as a critic, as a developer, as a sound designer, as an artist, as a 3D design, like a 3D like asset creator. Let me just tell you right now. It's a dog world out there. There's people climbing over each other for the cream of the crop, buying IPs, making sure they can milk as much money from your favorite characters as possible, right? And when someone makes something out of love, out of passion, like, say, for example, like a Pokemon ROM, for example, like something like that, something simple, right? They milk you. They take down the game. Like, Nintendo literally is someone who owes them millions of dollars and will never pay them back because they just live a regular job and they just hack the game. That's their worst crime. And Nintendo literally has them trapped in a legal contract where they have to pay half of their entire earnings to Nintendo for their entire life. The Magic the Gathering people literally hired hitmen because they thought that someone stole one of their cards. That's not a video game, but that's still a thing that happened. I might be saying that a little bit wrong, but I just need to bring it back. Either way, the soundtrack is absolutely fantastic, right? Because not only is the original soundtrack of the Pizza Tower fantastic, especially with its like lap 1 and lap 2 sounds, but the new Noise remake is so good, dude. Oh my goodness. Ladles and germs, you heard the original soundtrack. It has the best pacing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's phenomenal to me. The sound design that this guy could put together in this thing. You have things that speed up and slow down, accelerate. You thought the original start of the pizza, like, it's pizza time soundtrack was, the original, like, lap one sound was crazy enough. Just in your own free time, if you didn't, this tasteful anchovy and then listen to Worldwide Noise, those two songs are some of the best I've ever heard. And then also in some of the levels, he gets his own remixes. I think the new song in the very first level, which is John Gutter, is some of the best I've ever heard. Like it, as a remake, it's yum, 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 yum. It's a free update too. That's what's getting to me right now. In the game Golem, you have to buy emotes for the Golem game. I'm gonna scream and cry right now.
Besides the point.
It's a free update, so what are you waiting for? Ben Lesky, buy Pizza Tower right now, please. Right now. We're almost at time here. I freaked out about the Steam Awards for a bit too long, so we kind of cut on time there. Besides the point, I'm still gonna come back after this song, but just listen to this final phase here. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh my days.
Let me tell you, like, how. This is the thing I aspire to. This is, like, the kind of mastery of, like, electronic music that I aspire to completely. Like, it completely mixes all the things I love about music and just puts it into one song. That's insane. How do you do that? How do you do that? Hollow Knight is still my favorite game, but Pizza Tower is, like, something else. Like, they're both number one in my mind. It's completely, like, two completely separate games. They're both platformers, but they have completely different styles. That's the one thing I don't understand. There's so many people out there who say, yeah, platformers, they're not for me. Sorry. What? Repeat. They're the platformer genre, which is a multifaceted genre that spans over Metroidvanias, Mario-likes, Wario-likes, and a whole bunch of other ones. Fighting games like Smash, those are platformers technically. And you're saying you don't like platformers? That's like one of the core that's the C major scale of songs. I'm just saying, I mean of video game genres, you know? Like, That's, when you think of action, you think platformer. That just makes sense. That's like the, that was the bedrock of our society. That's what Mario was built on. And that was the, basically the thing that got the Atari out of the muck after they released E.T. Anyway, that's Pizza Tower. Ben Lusky played Pizza Tower. I just want to quickly go over some things before I head out. Because we only have, like, say, 4 more episodes, even 3 more episodes until exam week happens, and then I'm off the hook for the rest of the entire summer, basically. And I'm just going to say right now, I loved doing this. I still love doing this. I want to do it next week, a year, honestly. It's been so fulfilling to me. Even if some of the episodes, even this one, it were hit and miss, I feel like, overall, it was a completely eye-opening experience to me that, yeah, I might be a bit shy in person, but in reality, I don't know what to say to people. But when I'm talking to myself, to an imaginary audience, I know what I want to say, anyway. The idea was that I wanted to get better at speaking, and I feel like I did accomplish that goal into a certain extent. I feel like I'm more comfortable with talking to people after doing this show, absolutely. And I've still got 3 more episodes, and I'm going to get as many guests as possible. That's what we have in store, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to try to get as many of my D&D friends as possible. My dream would be the final episode doing a quick one-shot. That for like a D&D Dungeons & Dragons campaign, just like a quick one-shot. We don't even like have character sheets. I just make a quick scenario. I get as many of the D&D boys as there is, and just shoot it. Just go at it, just to see what happens. That'd be so fun to me. Just like 9 people in here, that'd be so funny. But maybe I'm stretching a bit too much. Either way, we're going to get as many guests as I can in the further episodes. What games do I have in store? Here's the thing. I haven't been playing that many games because, you know, assignments and all that. I have to make a couple of songs and exams, essays. Yeesh. It gets in the way. I don't have a lot of time to play video games. And when I'm not playing, when I'm not working on stuff, I usually have to sleep. So, it's a hard knock life. What are you going to do? But what are the games I have been playing recently? There's a few. And, you know, I'll just chuck them at you. We'll see what we can decide, right? The 2 games I've been playing recently, Ultra Kill, right? A fantastic Doom-like boomer shooter where you are a robot who is fighting through the rings of hell. For what purpose, I have not figured out yet, because I only got to, like, stage 2 of the game and then stopped and then took a hiatus for a couple of months. I was planning to do this one in the first semester, but, life got in the way, and I forgot how to play the game. And I got to the first stage again pretty flawlessly, so I've been having a lot of fun with that one. It's interesting, because it also has a style mechanic, chaining combos together, making sure that you switch weapons constantly to keep your score up, which I find is a very refreshing way to play the game, because there's just, like, most of the time you just have, like, one specific weapon that you stick to, no matter what. But in this one, it kind of changes it up a bit, which I like. That's Ultra Kill for you. I'm probably going to do that one in, say, 2 weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Helix, on the other hand, is an RPG, which doesn't really focus on the gameplay that much. It's like, it's kind of like Earthbound. I mean, most of those, like, RPG maker games, that specific engine that powers those games, are like those old-ass Earthbound kind of games, where you just have a cast of characters, and they follow you around, you search the map, and try to piece together a story that the game tries to tell you. The thing is, though, is that Helix was first made in RPG Maker, and then they upgraded to either Unity or Unreal Engine. And they have the entire, like, 3 graphics. It is an entirely new game, I think. It looks fantastic. So I'm definitely looking forward to beating this game and eventually getting Helix 2. But besides the point, Helix is a fever dream. It is a little fever dream, where fast traveling is accomplished by literally dying in the game. It's a very, very hallucinogenic story. I haven't even pieced it together yet. It's like, you know what? No, just look it up. I'm not even gonna describe it to you. Just look it up and you can figure it out yourself. That's H-Y-L-I-C-S, Hilix. Look it up. See what you think about it. Let me know. Let me know what you think about it.
You like that? I got a lot more where that comes from. Oh, yeah.
I never heard an amplified sloshing sound before. This is crazy. I could do Foley on this microphone, honestly. I don't know why, that's so relaxing to me. Just like the rushing, like the sound of sloshing water is so relaxing to me. It's like being washed on a sandy dune and seeing the oasis nearby, and it's an actual real oasis, and you go to it and you can splash the water in your face and it goes, there's a reason why you actually get more awake when you splash water on yourself. It's the actual response that was made back when you were, when your ancestors were, closer to Neanderthals than we are, for sure. I think it's called the diver's reflex, where it just wakes you up, right? Because you're about to drown. Your brain thinks that you're about to drown, so it's just like, wake up, you gotta get out of there, right? So it's like, it actually scientifically helps you by just splashing some water in your face. It might wear off after a bit, but like, you get a little bit of energy from that. I've tried, trust me. I've not been getting good sleep recently. But yeah, that is the plan. I think just a quick little recap of the games that I won't cover. Story games, I feel like ones that have a very, very, like, once-in-a-lifetime twist, right? Like, for example, Inscription, right? That is a card game that has a very, very interesting twist at the end. The story is, you know, shaky. You gotta have to piece it together in your mind through, like, little clips that they give you. But the actual, like, goal of the game is actually so interesting. Even still, like, the extra added-on, like, updates that they added to the game that give you more gameplay. The game itself is a very tight card game. It's a very fun game as a whole. But I won't cover it because If I there will be nothing to cover. All I can talk about is the game itself. I can't talk about, like, the extra added on, like, Act 2 and Act 3. Because, like, it'd be spoiling it. I don't want to spoil it for you. Just, Ben Lesky, play Inscription. Right now. Okay? Thank you. Another game that I won't cover on this show is Hollow Knight. Because even though it's my favorite game of all time, they haven't released the sequel yet, so I'm angry. They released it, like, 5 years ago! They released it 5 years ago, and they've been completely radio silent about it since then. And I'm like, the world is gonna go into a nuclear winter, and I'm still not gonna play Silksong, dude. That sucks. Dude, what am I gonna do? Come on. Anyway, besides the point, I hope you have a fantastic week. Exams are coming up. Hope you're ready. Nah, you'll do great. You'll do fantastic. There's probably some extra assignments they gotta do, too. I wanna end you guys on the, let's see. There's the John Gutter song. That was pretty good. Hold on. Not that one. Wait. Oh? Is it this one? It could be this one, actually. Hold up. Yeah, I love Noises theme. It kind of blends both major and minor scales, which makes it a kooky little crazy soundtrack for this insane individual. So I'll leave you off the Noises jam-packed radical anthem. I hope you enjoy. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.